Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm the therapist, Tess Brigham.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
And we are back today with Seeking Sister Wife, Season 5, Episode 2. I did not write down the title.
The title is Seeking Danielle Davis.
Yes. When we have to write Danielle Davis, because there's two Danielles, in case someone's confused.
Yeah.
But yes, this entire episode, I mean, we got a lot of stories, but the big thing in the Davis family is Danielle is taken off. She is gone.
Danielle made her escape.
Yes.
Well, yeah, this is the okay. Did you want to start with the Davises?
Sure, we can start there. Or I had sort of I had an overall thought about the show, and now it's truly left me. I think it was probably about Garrick, and just about Garrick. And God, Garrick's never met a tank top that he didn't want to just take his clothes off and put that tank top on.
Yeah, regardless of the weather.
Yes, you know. Regardless of, I don't know, formal interview on TV or the weather or, you know, your wife's a little bit more dressed up, but you're going to wear a white tank top. And I just get the sense that, you know, he loves a three pack. You know, he's got so many of those Target three pack, black, white, gray Hanes.
Yeah.
And boy, he just uses them for everything.
Yep. He loves it.
Yes. Well, we could start there. Which family do we want to start with? Even though they weren't it was the Merrifields that were sort of, I have the most notes for.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Let's start with the Davises.
Okay.
We can do that.
Start with the Davises. Okay. All right. So, first scene.
Oh God, this first scene was the best
to me because Nick is in the kitchen holding a little Vera, and he's dressed. He's got like this pink dress shirt and a pink and black tie and dress pants. Doesn't have a suit jacket, but he's very dressed up.
Yeah, he is dressed what they would call business casual or upscale. Business casual.
Yeah, it's basically a suit without the jacket. I mean,
yeah.
The tie, I think he has some cufflinks on.
I was thinking like, oh, where is he going? I assumed he was going somewhere. Yeah, you're right. He's got the cufflinks and he's got the little tie clips. And I think he's got a necklace too. Wasn't there a necklace with a big pendant in the middle?
There was a lot going on.
It was a look. It was a look. And
Nick, did you get a job?
Yes. No.
No.
No. Because parenting is serious business.
Yeah.
And because it's so serious, that's why he wears a suit.
He's dressing for the part or something like that. And it's like, this makes no sense. And then later he tells Jen that they went to the park. And I'm thinking, well, did you went to the park in that outfit?
Yeah. He wants the other people to think like, oh, this guy's here on his lunch break or something. Yeah. I don't know. What are you thinking?
What a great dad. He, you know, he goes home and gets his kid on his lunch break and takes her to the park. I don't know. I doubt they went to the park, but I don't know. He does say he loves being a dad. Mm-hmm. He genuinely seems to, you know, love his daughter very much.
But this scene seemed very like either the producers told him he and Jen needed to have it, or it was very staged, or maybe they had it after Danielle left and they have to say, well, we need some prep. Yeah, a little bit. We need a scene here.
That's true. I thought of that too. I thought, well, when was this shot? Because then Jen comes home from work, I guess. And, you know, it's like, oh, how was your day? Went to the park, da, 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 da. And then they immediately start talking about Danielle.
Yes.
About how Danielle is just not sure how she feels about, you know, growing the family. And Jen's like, yeah, she's really going to have to decide if this life is for her. And it's like, okay, oh boy, what's coming?
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know. I don't feel... I mean, basically, it seems like the back and forth is that Nick and Jen and April all feel like, hey, Danielle, and I obviously haven't watched I feel like I need to watch these earlier seasons now, but it seems like they said to her, hey, if you want to be part of our family, you've got to recognize that we're going to keep bringing women in. Mm-hmm. And so they feel like, hey, she knew the deal, but I feel for Danielle in this situation because it's this feeling of, yes, I understand that this is what was told to me beforehand, but I'm in this now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm ready for this or I don't know if I want this. And it feels like the other three are just like, they're on a moving bus that cannot slow down. And it's like, no, you can slow down. You can decide. I mean, is it that they just don't want the TV show to go away? Like if they're not continuing to seek sister wives,
well,
then
yeah, they have to, or else they can't be on the show. I mean, that is the whole premise of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be seeking a sister wife. So if they stop, yeah, they're not going to want to have them on the show. But also I think you should watch last season when Danielle, you know, comes into the family. She looked so shell-shocked and like a deer in headlights the whole time. I almost felt like, oh my God, like it was sort of like they were recruiting her for a cult or something. I don't think she really wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually shocked when she agreed to, you know, have that marriage ceremony and whatever they did. So yeah, but I guess she went along with it, but now she's in it, like you said, and it's like it's a whole different ball game, and they're talking about more people, and you know, I don't blame her. You know?
Yeah, I don't either, and I just kind of feel like, okay, yes, these reality shows are supposed to be honest, but what I don't understand is why can't Nick and April and Jen just say, hey, listen, Danielle, you need more time. We understand that. We want to stay on the show. You know, can we just perfunctory go through the motions and do this? But it doesn't sound like they ever said anything like that to her. So I'm wondering if she's also using this as an excuse. Like she's like, I need to get out of this. And okay, here's my reason. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like she wanted to go no matter what, or she wanted out of this no matter what. And that maybe she's using this as her excuse or reason.
I don't know. Well, we're sort of getting ahead of ourselves here, but yeah. she does, you know, she is in scenes for the rest of the season, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, so yeah, they have that talk about Danielle and oh dear, what to do. So then the next time we see them is there's like this, you know, black screen, Chiron.
Very serious.
Says that, I forget the exact wording, but basically, oh, Nick called the producers and said that Danielle left.
Mm-hmm.
So they come over and Nick is looking really sad. And is this when they're all on the couch?
Or yeah. Yeah. Because there was really only two scenes with them. It was that first scene where let's set it up. And then there was like, let's all drink orange juice together and be sad.
Yeah. They're all sitting on their big couch. And, you know, April's crying. It looks like Jen is crying a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and they're just, well, Nick's describing what happened. I can't believe this. So he says he was, of course, lying down. He said this last week, I think. He was lying down on the bed with Vera, napping. Because that's, I think, a big part of Nick's day.
Yeah, I do too. I think every time she... Well, when the baby sleeps, you need to sleep.
That's true.
That's what you're told as a mom.
That's true. So he says he heard some commotion, upstairs. I guess their bedroom is downstairs and the kitchen and everything else is upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
He heard some commotion upstairs. And he got up to go see what was happening, and he noticed that all of Danielle's plants were gone.
Mm-hmm.
They were missing. And then he sees that Danielle is basically loading up her car. And she tells him, now this, you know, she's been working on this escape for a while, because she tells him that she got an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
She got a place and she's leaving. And he's very vague on the details of what was said, or, you know, he's just kind of like, yeah, well, there she was. She was packing up her car and she left. I was like, well, tell us more. Like, what, you didn't say, you didn't have a conversation? Like, nothing was said?
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted more details, but I don't know.
Well, and it's also interesting that she did it. She did not want this on camera. Like, she didn't wait for the producers to show. I'm sure the producers were pissed. Like, God damn it, we want that on camera, like her mm-hmm. moving out. But mm-hmm. so she did it behind the scenes. But yeah, it didn't seem a little bit like Nick was really fighting to keep her there, or at all saying, hey, hold on. Before you pack up all your stuff, can we all have a family meeting, or can we all sit down, or... Or, right. Or I don't know, but he made it seem like he had no power or control at mm-hmm. all, that she was just like packing up her stuff and gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but you can't talk to her?
Yeah, I'm sure more was said, but he was just kind of taking this position that it was just, he was just surprised by the whole thing, which is that I don't even know if that's necessarily true. Mm-hmm. Who knows? It's hard to tell.
When happened. They're all gathered around, apparently, and then Danielle texts April, I guess, and sends her a text and just saying, you know, goodbye, and I need to figure some things out.
Well, she also says, I still love you and I miss you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, my note on this was, I just felt like, I get that they need to keep seeking sister wives for the show, but like, if you really love her, then why aren't you going to her saying, if this was her issue, why aren't you going to her and saying, okay, yeah, we'll slow down. We're sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we'll wait for till you're comfortable, or what needs to happen when you're comfortable, or okay, let's give it a year or anything. It's like, if you love this person, you love her, but you're not willing to listen to her or change anything or take her thoughts or feelings into consideration.
Well, yeah, the more we talk about this, the more I think this might be completely fake.
Really?
Yeah, because they'll use this as an excuse. They'll drag this out for a whole season.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll use this as an excuse for not, like, pursuing another wife.
Mm-hmm.
And this will just go on for the rest of the season. This, like, will Danielle stay or won't she? And it'll just be all about that. And then they don't really have to do anything.
Yeah. Maybe this was their plan. They're like, Danielle was saying, maybe they did take her feelings into consideration. And they said, okay, well, we need to be on the show.
Yeah, we need to
stall. Nick does not want to work. So yeah, we need to be on the show. And so let's stall. And the big stall will be, you're going to pretend like you don't want this and you're going to move out. And that will be the drama. And then we can come back next year.
Yeah. And we'll figure that out then.
Yeah.
We'll figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing about some of these reality shows that I find so frustrating, because when you approach them from this place of like, what's really going on here with these people? Then, you know, like, I always think about things in terms of like the mental health and the psychology of like what's happening and what are these relationships and how do they interact with each other? And then when you stop and really think about it, you're like, oh, maybe this is just all fake. And mm-hmm. so then what am I doing here? Might as well just do scripted television or something. I don't know.
Yeah, this isn't really reality TV anymore.
But I was wondering, I was like, oh God, is Nick freaking out? Like, oh my God, we've lost Danielle's income. Can we still afford this house? Yes.
How are we going to make our mortgage payments?
Yes, he's like, I got to get a new tie clip and I got outfits to put together for play. Yeah, again, Nick, people wear casual clothes because when you're taking care of a baby, it's very messy. That is actually the uniform. The uniform for a parent is stuff that already has spit up on it.
Yeah, you know? Stuff you don't mind if it gets ruined, you know.
Yeah, sitting in the sand, running around, tennis shoes, right? Like,
yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah, and, you know, they really were kind of playing it up, you know, with the crying. And April was like, when that text, you know, quote unquote, just came in from Danielle, she's like, I can't read it. I can't read it. And she gives the phone to Nick, and it was all a bunch of drama. And then April said, well, it's not just that we're losing a wife, William and Vera are losing a mom. And it's like, okay, this, it just seemed overly dramatic for, like, we don't even really know what happened yet, you know. We haven't even heard from Danielle.
Well, and also, yeah, that's a big deal. Like, Vera and John, which I assume is April's,
I think his
child.
Name is William. I thought she said William.
Oh, I thought she said John too, because that's what I wrote down, was John.
Oh.
Anyway,
whatever.
Again, it's a little bit like, then shouldn't you not be introducing people like that you don't know very well to your children? Right? It's, well, this attitude of like, Danielle is to blame. And it's like, well, maybe you as the parent should probably maybe not introduce your children. Yeah, anyway.
I don't, yeah, well,
oy.
Whatever.
Yeah.
This family... They'll do and say anything to stay on TV.
Yeah.
So.
Well, next is, should we do the Salahuddin family? I'm sorry, I keep butchering their names because it was very quick.
Yeah. Well, they haven't moved from the kitchen table.
They're still eating dinner.
Yes. They're
it's
still
been
eating.
2 weeks of eating dinner. Mom, they're still eating those green beans.
This is pretty boring.
And yeah.
It's basically the same conversation. They're still talking about...
They're still giving mom a hard time.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah.
And but she... I have to say the mom had a few good choice lines because the wife... Naila.
No, you're putting more letters in there. I think it's just Naila.
Naila. Okay. Anyway, Naila says, referring to her husband, she's saying, well, you know, he really sees the benefit in it. And the mom's like, yeah, of course he does. Like, she had a lot of, you know, she had a lot of good lines. And he's like, well, you know, we could have a bigger family, more love to go around. She's like, get a dog. They're just so... defensive with her. This is what we talked about last time, but they're so defensive with her. It's like, okay, what did you expect?
Yeah, and she even calls them out for that. She's like, well, just because, you know, this is okay with you doesn't mean, you know, that everyone else has to be okay with it. And they're like, she's like, you're getting upset with me because I don't think the way you do. And they're like, no, we're not.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah, you are.
And then They mom says, well, where did you meet this person?
Oh, yeah.
And Naila says online, and she's like, oh, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been, 3 months? They've never seen her, right?
Yeah, never seen her.
I mean, I'm sorry, but Naila and Naheem, I mean, it's like, come on. She's, you know, you're going to get this from people. This is what you're going to get. So what... Or, you know, sit your mom down and say, this is what we're doing. You know, we're not looking for feedback. Mm-hmm. If you know, they want her feedback, but they want the feedback that they're looking for. And it doesn't work like that either.
Right.
If you don't want someone's opinion, don't ask for it.
Yeah.
And I just, justice for the mother.
Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully, when are we going to get to meet this person, hopefully.
Well,
soon.
Yeah. And Keisha, what we saw from the previews, Keisha does not look like her picture.
No.
I'm sorry. I was like, wait a second. These two don't match.
I think they've been catfished.
I mean, or I mean, I don't know if they addressed that or not. She looked very different. So anywho.
Yeah.
But they live in Pennsylvania. We couldn't remember last time where it was.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so we got the two biggies, the Merrifield family and the Sherwood family.
Oh, boy.
Which one do you want to start with? Sherwood. The Sherwood, Ashley and Shane.
Yes.
And they're in Wayland, Massachusetts. I got to figure out where that is. Start talking. I want to figure out where Wayland, because I'm sure I've maybe been there at some point. Should ask Steve about it.
So Shane is going to meet Grace. You know, he finally, you know, pressured Ashley to meet this woman. And so they show up at this restaurant and, you know, they say hello and I think they hug hello.
They do. So, Wayland is west of Boston, not that far. There's a bunch of these towns. There's like Watertown, Waltham, Weston, Wayland. There's a lot of these. And but they're not far from Boston. Okay. I just need to get my bearings. Thank you.
So they sit down and, you know, to break the ice, Shane asks Grace about her first kiss.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird place to start. And you know what else I thought was kind of interesting, though? I don't know if the producers told them. When Ashley and Shane came in, Ashley sat next to Grace.
Yeah.
That was interesting. And then he sat across. I was like, oh, that's a... Okay. I mean, that might have been just for filming. But I was like, if not, I was like, that's an interesting place to be. But yeah, I felt like both of these people had chips on their shoulder before they met.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's a bit on Ashley, right? Because what are you saying to both these people about the other person? Because I think what Ashley was doing was going to Shane and we saw that going to Shane and he's asking, oh, does she want to meet me? And Ashley's very dismissive of, oh, no, she doesn't want to meet you. She doesn't want to meet you. And I think Grace maybe was saying something to the effect of like, yeah, I'll meet him, but not right now. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think Ashley's as the go-between, I think made it uncomfortable to begin with. That's my two cents, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, immediately they do not hit it off. Mm-hmm. You know, they tell their little kissing stories, but that was as good as it got. I mean, after that it was, so he's asking her what she does for a living, and she's a coach for entrepreneurs, and you know, she helps them get in touch with the universe. You know,
she's a spiritual channeling coach, and there's a lot of these people out there. And I mean, basically, she's just, you know, she's a life coach who helps people who have businesses that have imposter syndrome and self-doubt, which you do when you start it, you know, we all do, but especially when you do a business, you know, have a business. And she's just, for me, I didn't think it was that woo-woo or out there, but yes. And it was very, can we talk before they start getting into the career stuff, Shane, and you can't do this on a podcast, but Shane's like, why haven't you guys done more?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Like, why haven't you done? Why aren't you guys being sexual?
Basically? Yeah, basically, why aren't you doing it? But he can't say having sex. So he's like, watch my hand gestures here. Like,
he's
you know,
his hands and then sort of like putting them together and making
them around. But the best is that he's not even using like the universal gestures that people would know what he's saying. Basically, he's like just mushing.
He's mushing space together with his hands.
And you're like, is this how Shane is in bed? Like, he's just like
pretty clumsy.
Yeah. Just a little, but can't say anything.
Yeah.
I was just dying of that.
What was their response? I don't remember.
They didn't really.
Was there a response?
They didn't really have a response. So they were kind of just sort of laughing and just kind of like, well, because we learned that it's been a few months since we've been dating a few months. So at the time that we saw them last time, they had gone on 5 dates. At this point, we're at 6 or 7 dates. Mm-hmm. And so, Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know. You know, the thing is with this show, and especially with this scene, is the facial expressions mm-hmm. are just hilarious. You know, in this whole show, when you were watching, like, the Merrifields, you have to, Danielle's facial expression.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You can't take your eyes off the screen. That's why I can't even take notes, because I don't want to miss any of these facial
these looks.
Because, yeah, when Grace was talking about her, you know, coaching or whatever, Shane just had this look on his face like, what? It's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. You know, he just kept making weird faces, and he would look at Ashley and make weird faces, and Ashley just sat there.
Yeah.
Didn't say a word. Didn't come to anybody's defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just like, hello? Like,
yeah.
Where, yeah. And she was just sitting there picking at her food, or at least that's how it was edited.
Yes. But they said it. Word. Shane said it to her. Like, you were so passive. You didn't say one thing one way or the other. Now, yeah. I understand if to Shane what Grace does seems a little wacky and weird. Okay, fine. But again, for both he and Grace, like, you two were looking for something to dislike about the other person. Mm-hmm. I mean, Shane, you could have very easily asked some follow-up questions or learned more about it, or said, you know, hey, that's not something, you know, that's new to me, or that's not something I've ever thought about. But Shane just came out from this place of like, that's weird. I don't like that. Ugh. And it's
he rude. Was ready to hate her. And
yeah.
And he found something right out of the
yes.
gate.
Yes.
That he could use.
And she was ready. And you know what? Grace thinks he's a simpleton. Grace yeah. thinks that he's beneath her.
Yeah.
And Grace thinks that this guy's an idiot. And I bet you anything. And that's what he picked up on. Mm-hmm. Right. Again, both of them, like I said, Ashley primed this for them to both come into this with a lot of preconceived ideas and notions. Neither one of them came in. And then sure enough, boom. The minute they each found a thread, they picked it. And there yeah. you go. And that's why it didn't work. And I'm with Shane on this one of like, you just sat there. You didn't yeah. say anything. And apparently the most shocking thing is Ashley's a psychiatrist.
Oh my God. When I found that out, I was just like, what the fuck? Can you imagine you're watching Seeking Sister Wife?
And there's your psychiatrist.
Yes. Is on this show.
Yes. It's like, holy what hell. The what?
Yeah.
And he, and it made it even more interesting because he was coming at it from this place of like, you're a psychiatrist, you're rooted in science.
Right.
This seems very, what's going on here? And then Grace is saying, yeah, when Ashley and I talked about this stuff, Ashley was totally into it. Ashley thought it was interesting. Ashley connected with it. Right. So again, Ashley's being one way with Grace and right. another way with Shane, saying one thing to her, saying the other, you know, something else. My favorite was they all have full plates of food. And then Grace is like, well, I got to go. And all of a sudden I'm like, you have a full salad there. You've eaten two bites of your salad.
Her gluten-free,
vegan,
soy-free salad.
Yeah, it looked like a bunch of lettuce with some onions in it.
Yes, it looked awful. I hate
raw onions. Ugh, I cannot stand raw onions. I kept looking at those raw onions. And
yeah, huge amount of onions. They're yeah. like, well, this is all we got. That's going to pass those guidelines. But I don't know what, you know, this Ashley, I look at her and I feel like she is crazy. Like crazy yeah. is a very general, but there's something wrong with her. Why is she doing this?
I don't think Ashley really knows. How do I say this? Because it's not something where I'm an expert on this either, but I don't think she really understands what it means to have to be married to someone and then also have the separate relationship and to have a sister wife or to add someone into your life. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think Ashley's spent a lot of time really thinking about this, thinking about the dynamics of it, thinking about what all of this means. And for a psychiatrist whose job it is to be mindful and thoughtful yeah. of people and their feelings and emotions, it's even more outrageous that she that she is not seeing or even being thoughtful on her end of, oh, okay, you know, Shane's my husband. How do I talk to him? I want to date this woman. How do I talk to her? How do I connect the two of them together? Like, she has a lot of unhealthy habits and a lot of unhealthy behaviors that she technically should have more awareness of.
Yeah.
You know?
Psych Legal Pop will be right back after these messages.
Hey there, it's Tess Brigham, the therapist half of Psych Legal Pop. In addition to being a therapist, I'm also a coach, speaker, and author. And if you go to my website, you'll find courses, ebooks, and worksheets for sale. If you're feeling a bit lost, overwhelmed by life's twists and turns, or you're just simply stuck, I've got you covered. Head over to my website, www.tessbrigham.com, for courses, ebooks, and worksheets tailored to help you unlock your true potential. From relationship struggles to career transitions, I'm here to guide you every step of the way. So stop looking outside of yourself at friends, family, social media for the answers. The answers to all your questions are inside of you. My products and services are the first step in uncovering your true you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
So, though I do want to say on Shane, I do feel like Shane was projecting a lot onto Grace, right? Because mm-hmm. he was like, she was so full of herself. It was so awkward. And he then gets into this whole thing of Grace doesn't want to know me. And, you know, her big plan is that she's going to try to go in there and make Ashley not want to be with me. And like Shane's going down his own personal rabbit hole kind of stuff. Like he's projected this whole idea of what's going to happen onto Grace, which is very unfair, even though maybe Grace was kind of, you know, was a little standoffish with him and hurt by him. But at the same time, this is just, it's like perplexing to watch because all of you think you know what you're talking about or what's happening here, but there's all these other layers of what's happening. And everyone walked in with these preconceived ideas and they're all projecting onto each other. And then you've got Ashley, who's the glue, who's not taking care of anybody.
No, she's like, just sitting there.
And then she's there with Shane and she's like, yeah, that was awkward. I am rethinking the relationship with Grace. It's like, well, what are you going to go tell Grace after this?
Yeah.
I just don't trust you.
I know. I wonder if we'll ever see Grace again. I mean, honestly, after that, she might just be like, I'm out. Like, I don't think she's madly in love with Ashley. I think she's just, I don't know what she's doing. Yeah.
Well, but the other thing was that Shane says, well, it's a no from me. And Ashley takes the attitude of like, okay, I'll take that into consideration. It's like, well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
You know, the whole idea of these kinds of relationships and what you told us was that everybody has to be on the same page, that you're not going to bring someone, I mean, the whole, right? You're not going to bring someone in that I'm saying no to. So the minute...
Yeah, what, you're going to live with this person who you can't stand? I mean, come on.
Well, and also the minute Shane said no, shouldn't that be Ashley's no too? Right? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I don't... Yeah, this is a, it has to be a mutual...
But she's not, thing. But she's not doing that. She's yeah. hemming and hawing. I don't know. I
don't know.
These two have not thought this through.
No,
she at all.
She doesn't know. She doesn't know what she wants. She, I don't know. She's
honestly
infuriating to me.
Yeah. I think Ashley married this guy and I think immediately regretted it and has been trying to figure out how do I stay in this marriage and not be a horrible person and also rip my children away from this person.
Right.
And get what I want. That's yeah, my two cents. I just don't think she's in love with him.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Well, then why did she have two kids with him?
Well, it's like boom, boom, boom. You know, I think that she thought this is what she wanted. Then you're there. This happens to a lot of people, right? You think, because you don't, no one knows what marriage is until you get into it. But and you think you said, want it.
She had said that she started thinking that she was bisexual in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so which means that right around the time that she got married, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, she was already having these feelings. So, you know, I obviously Shane is not going to be supportive, or when she married him, at least. It's not like if she went to him and said, yeah, I'll marry you, but just to let you know, like, I'm bisexual and I'm probably going to want to have mm-hmm. relationships with other women. I don't think he would have married her.
Yeah. I don't think he would have either. So. I don't know. I mean, it all seems to have happened very, very quickly. My two cents is I think especially women think that because we're so sold on this idea of that we have to be married and that if you don't have a partner next to you that you're, you know, there's something wrong with you. And there's so much pressure that I think that she thought, I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want to have this kind of life. And then she got in there and was like, oh, wait, I don't want any of this. And then she's pregnant. And then she's pregnant again. And I think she's been trying to figure out a way to find something that's going to work for her. I don't know. But God, I think I would cancel my appointments if I saw her. If this was my psychiatrist.
If anybody out there is a patient of Ashley's,
please
come forward.
We would love to talk to you because I really want to know how she is as a psychiatrist, because this is very alarming. Now, psychiatrists, they are doctors and they normally don't. Some psychiatrists do therapy. Some don't. Some do the talk therapy piece and some just prescribe medication. And so of all the people in the mental health field, psychiatrists are at the tippy top. They're the most revered because they're doctors, but they are also known to be the coldest. Because they're doctors, right?
They're diagnosing people.
Exactly. And prescribing meds and tracking people. That's the majority of what they do. Some do therapy, like some do a bit more of that piece of it. But, you know, their appointments are 20 minutes long. It's very different. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just getting the basics. So you don't have to be. But you should have a sense of human dynamics and how to be in the world.
Exactly. Because you're dealing with people who have. You know, disorders that have been either caused or exacerbated by, you know, life circumstances. I mean, this is not new to her, you know, like this idea of relationships and, you know, how people interact with each other. And, you know, just these basic things. I mean, Jesus, it's like, she's just clueless.
Yeah.
Clueless.
Yes.
Anyway, God, well, we'll see. Do you think Grace will be back next week?
I don't know. I don't think we saw her. So, but yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. That might be the last time we see her. But
yes.
Anyway. Okay. So we're going to end with our favorite family.
Oh, Lord, this family. I got to go back and watch some of these old episodes. To see what happened with Roberta and Mexico and all of that. I gotta see it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the same thing that's happening now. So we start out with where we left off last week, where Danielle and Samantha are gardening, and Garrick and Sam are, I don't know, looking at construction or whatever, talking. And, you know, it's Sam and Samantha just going, "What? Oh, my God. Really? Are you serious? What?" You know, because they're outlining their plan for, you know, they're going to go to Mexico to meet up with Natalia. And, you know, Sam and Samantha are just like, "No, again? No,
yeah.
Like, you know, just what are you doing?" And, you know, they're kind of smiling as they're saying all this stuff, but you can tell that they really are just like, "This is crazy."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I. So this is 3 or 4 months after the Roberta stuff. Is this the timeline?
Well, I don't know in terms of filming when they started filming again. Well, no, they've been talking to Natalia for 4 months.
Got it. So the Roberta stuff must have happened
just like a year ago.
A year ago. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Roughly, maybe a little bit more, because I don't know when these things are filmed, but it was last season.
Mm-hmm.
The last season of Seeking Sister Wives. So maybe less than a year. But yeah, I mean, you know, I don't even know where to start with these people. Like this whole thing about Garrick wants to get engaged.
Yeah, he's like, "Well, if everything goes well, I'm going to propose." And I have to say that the brother-in-law kind of called him on some stuff, because he's like, "You know, I don't like how this is all affecting my sister."
Yeah, that's his sister.
And Garrick is taking this attitude of like, "Well, I didn't hurt her. I wasn't the one that broke up with him." And it's like, but the brother-in-law's like, "But you can prevent the pain." Mm-hmm. "You can make a choice." Like, but you
make better choices.
Yeah, make better choices, Garrick. Like, you could maybe stop this. And tell God, as he's telling you these thoughts, no, God, I don't want to hurt Danielle, my wife.
Oh, but when God tells you to do something, you have to do it, Seth.
Especially if you're in the garage.
If God comes to you in the garage, you can't say no.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Very, very true. But I was like, God, thank God the brother-in-law at least is kind of pushing a little bit of like...
Yeah, but he doesn't listen.
No, they don't. And I think that's what they know. I think... Sam and Samantha, I feel for them, because I think they're in this weird position of, I don't want to seem like a nutter on TV, but I also feel like I need to be honest with you. But at the same time, I don't know how much do I say to you, because you don't listen to me.
Yeah,
so
So
what attitude do I take in this moment in time? You know, and I love all these people that go to their family members and tell them these things. And then they're so infuriated because the family member doesn't quite understand it. And again, what kind of reaction? Again, people are allowed to do what they want to do, but you can't be mad at people for their reactions. You just can't. They have the right to think what they want to think.
Well, yeah, Garrick, he's not having any of it. He has bought a ring, because it first started out, like when they first started talking about going to see Natalia or going to meet her. They've never even met her.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even speak the same language. They have to use that that interpreter app. So they have to have two phones going.
Yes.
One, you know, one for the FaceTime, one for the app.
Mm-hmm.
And basically Garrick it started out like, "Well, if things go well, you know, we might propose, or we'll see what happens." But over the progression of, you know, it's only been a couple episodes, but now he is going to propose.
Yeah.
And he does have a ring.
If everything goes well, and I don't know, what does that mean?
What
goes
does that
well.
Even mean?
Goes well. Yeah. Garrick's like, "I've got my ring. I've got 14 tank tops.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to go. I'm ready for Mexico."
He's ready. Yeah. And they even talked about like not being intimate with her right away. Well, that was a hard no from Garrick. You know, I almost think that he wants to propose just so he can bang this woman.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's exactly
he feel bad about
Yes, exactly. Exactly. He wants to, that's exactly why he wants to propose. That's why he wants to bring the ring. And what it means is, what he's really saying is, if everything goes well, if I'm attracted to her, mm-hmm. if I'm still attracted to her and she's willing to bang me,
yeah,
I'm going to propose and then we can get the show on the road.
Right.
And I also wonder if do you think Garrick even wants these women to come to the U.S.? Like, I wonder if this is Garrick's kink. Is
you
this
keep doing this?
Is this thing yeah. right? Like, because ultimately he gets to sleep with other, you know, he gets to court her and then he gets to sleep with her. And then it's like, okay, peace out. Yeah. Right. I mean,
yeah, he acts like he was so hurt by Roberta, but he sure did bounce back rather quickly mm-hmm. and, you know, go back to the same well of, you know, Brazilian women. I don't know where he finds these women. And another thing that, you know, Sam called him out on, because, you know, Garrick's trying to say what a great person Natalia is. And Sam says, well, does she work? And he says, oh, well, she just graduated from law school. And Sam says, yeah, but does she work? Does she mm-hmm. have a job? He's like, well, no, not yet. And then he says, but I haven't given her any money. It wasn't like Roberta. I haven't given her any money. And then Sam says, well, who's paying for her to come to Mexico? And he said, you know, I'm paying for it. He's like, well, you are giving her money.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the Sam was trying. I mean,
yes. He was.
He really was.
He was trying. He was trying to I think the best he way could have, which was to kind of like, well, hold on a second. Like,
yeah.
You're saying one thing, but really, is that really the truth? I mean, he was saying it to the best of his ability. So, and I also wonder, so do you think that he keeps picking, well, obviously he has a type. Like, mm-hmm. Garrick loves a woman from Brazil. Mm-hmm. But I also wonder, right, like, you're not living out in the middle of nowhere. Like, why can't you go into town? Why can't the two of you go into town? Or why can't you put in an ad somewhere?
There's not women like that in their town. And like you said, it's a kink. It's the fact that she is from Brazil. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he doesn't really have to talk to her, you know,
yeah.
because they don't speak the same language. So they're... conversations have to be, you know.
Oh, Natalia, I forgot my phone. Let's just speak the language of love. And...
yeah, I think he just is swept up in this. It's like a fantasy.
Yeah. Well, I also wonder if he's attracted to these women. I mean, this comes up a lot in the 90 Day Fiancé world, which is, do you want a woman from Brazil who's coming to this country because you want control. Power,
yeah.
all of this stuff over her. Like, would you be, is that why you're not putting things out there in your town and saying, yeah. hey, because I'm sure there's Latin women near
they
him.
They don't want him. And
I guess that's true too.
A hot Latin woman living in America does not want Garrick mm-hmm. Merrifield. She doesn't.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
And that's the thing with the 90 Day Fiancé. It's the same thing. It's men who are trying to, you know, date above their pay grade.
Mm-hmm.
And also, yeah, have someone who's dependent on you.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of power in that. I think it's
and control.
Dating yeah. someone young and beautiful, but also that's what I'm wondering about Garrick. Because Garrick obviously likes control. Like, because mm-hmm. He's controlling this whole situation. Poor Danielle. I mean, looks like she is just that look on her face. It's hard to, I don't know if she's trying to convince herself, because she'll say like, well, I know God has told us that we're in love with Natalia. Like, God wants us to be with Natalia, right? Yes, yes. But I love Garrick.
Yeah.
Did you say this already? When Garrick said, if God tells you to do something, you do it.
Yeah.
God tells you. And so this was my favorite story. God came to Garrick and Danielle in the garage, and Garrick asked God about Natalia. And then God showed up. He felt a sense of peace, of joy, of love. It flowed.
Kind of a wind.
And I'm like, are you sure that's not just horniness? Like, you just felt like you thought about Natalia and you're like,
yeah.
yes, I want this woman to be with us. And I felt a wind, you know, this feeling come over me. And that drives me crazy when it's like, just say you want this.
Yeah. Well, and Danielle, I don't know if she's brainwashed or she's halfway bought into this. And it's interesting when they are on the couch doing their interviews, that when she's speaking, he's always looking directly at her, mm-hmm. like staring at her, almost like telegraphing, like, okay, you know, say what we rehearsed, say what we rehearsed. And then the minute she stops talking, he turns his head back, you know, looks straight ahead.
Yeah.
It's really creepy, like really, really creepy. Oh, and then after Sam and Samantha leave, they're sitting out in their patio, and Danielle again kind of tries to say, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't be, you know, going so fast with Natalia. You know, we don't want this to happen again. And you were so hurt and devastated and it was terrible. Maybe we should wait and get mm-hmm. to know her and, you know, maybe not be intimate with her right away. And that's when Garrick was just like, no, when God tells you to do something, you have to do it.
Yeah. Well, but then Danielle saying something to the effect of like, well, my gut is telling me to wait, or definitely wait to propose. Mm-hmm. So why can't Danielle just say, God is telling me?
Yeah. God told me.
God told me that we need to wait. Like, yeah. I'm just like, why don't you just say that? Because this whole God thing, it's like, no, your gut, your instincts, your, you know, your belief, like this is what's driving each of you. So just say that. Mm-hmm. But God, he's got a tremendous amount of power over Danielle. Oh, she's just willing to just go right along.
I know. I
mean, even though she looks like a deer in headlights and she does not want to go and do this. And then they bring their kids.
Oh, God.
So I guess Solomon and Jeremiah, which are very... King Solomon, is that it? Solomon? These are very biblical names, right?
Well, yeah. Well, there is a Solomon in the...
They are, so they're going to Mexico, but they're not going to go to Cabo. They're going to go to Cancun. Right.
Because Cabo is where Roberta...
Yes.
That's her city.
Yeah, that's where she is. So we're going to go to Cancun. So they drag their poor kids, these two boys, who I just really feel for, with them. And then we see them, they get to Mexico and we see another black screen thing. And the producers at 5:45 a.m., producers are called into Garrick's room. Natalia can't get on the plane because mm-hmm. apparently she needs a visa. And then the best is Garrick starts tearing up. Yeah. Like he is so upset.
He thought he was going to get laid tonight.
Yeah. He did. He has his cowboy hat on and his favorite tank top, and he is ready to
ride. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah. And what was I going to say? Oh, the producers are like, you know, they're talking to production. Well, first of all, the reason they go to Mexico, and this was the reason why they met Roberta in Mexico, is because you don't need a visa to mm-hmm. go from Brazil to Mexico. Mm-hmm. And Danielle's trying to say, oh, the laws are changing and now you have to have a visa or something. And the producer's like, we just had two of our people just do the same thing and, it, you know, without any problem.
Yeah, that's I was going to ask you about that because I got a little confused. I'm like, what the producers are saying, they got online. So is the big thing that they're saying that they need to. So Natalia's saying they're not letting us on the plane because we need a visa. And then the producers are saying, oh, well, it's a simple, if you do, it's a simple application. We just applied.
Right.
It's I'm like so one confused. Of those, is there a visa or no?
Well, okay. So an official visa that you get like from the embassy is that's like the hard one to get. Mm-hmm. Some countries require you to basically, it's not really a visa. It's just kind of like a, they require you to register online. They're doing this, they're supposed to start this in the European Union. Mm-hmm. They haven't rolled it out yet. They keep delaying it. But it's basically a thing like if an American or people from, you know, certain countries that normally didn't have to have a visa before, you mm-hmm. just go online and you register like who you are, you're coming into the country, what you're doing, and you pay like $10.
Ah, got
it. It's like
okay.
a way for them to make money. So I think it's something like that.
Uh-huh.
And... yeah. And that's why the producer was like, well, our people just did it. And that's what they did. They went online or whatever and registered and, you know, were able to get on the plane. But it seems to me like perhaps Natalia is starting one of her first, you know, money grabs.
Mm.
Because she's saying that, oh, well, there's all these people here who are paying
other
people to get these things, you know, to get this visa. I bet you next episode, like, there's going to be something where, like, yeah, Garrick has to wire $1,000 to them so they can pay these people to get. I mean, it just. Something's not right, you know.
Well, yeah, the other thing, too, is was Natalia at the airport? Or not? Like, how far does the scam go for her?
Yeah.
Right? Did she go all the way to the airport and go, okay, now we need to call and we need to claim this. And then I'm going to tell them it's $1,000 and then it's going to be this, this, and this. Or is she at home and then in the background just be like, flight,
now boarding.
Well, it would have to be in Spanish.
Portuguese.
Portuguese. Sorry. See, I don't even know. Garrick and Danielle wouldn't know, but like, you know, in the background, like calling flight, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how far did she scam them? That's my question.
I don't know. Something's fishy. And yeah. And Garrick's crying. He's full on crying at this point. And, you know, they're just saying, I don't understand. But we know that there are scenes. I think she eventually gets there. There have been scenes, you know, from upcoming episodes where she's there with them in person.
Yeah. Talking. So she makes it. It all works itself out. Who knows how much care.
Her mom's getting a free trip too.
Yes. So who knows? Oh, and then they can really say it then. It's like, it's $1,000 each.
Each. Yeah.
And mom's a senior citizen. So that's going to be $2,000. Wow. Yeah. What a show. This is quite the show. I have to say, I go back and forth of like, oh, should I go back and try to watch the old episodes? And then I'm like, God, I got to find them. Cause these come out every week. I'm like, oh God, is there a way for me to find the old episodes?
Well, yeah, if you go on TLC.
So could I, cause I have the ID, investigation ID. Like I have a subscription to that channel, which has TLC. Mm. So would the older episodes be on there? I gotta look.
I don't know about that. I'm watching on.
Cause we're watching ours on YouTube TV.
Oh, see, I'm watching mine on Sling.
Mm.
And that has back seasons on it.
Oh, okay. I don't have Sling.
I don't know how far back it goes.
You cancel cable and then you're spending a small fortune on all these things.
I want cable back.
Yeah.
Honestly. But then it'd be like, oh, we still have to have Netflix and Hulu and whatever. I don't know. It's all too much. But
it is. It is. It is. All right. Well, that's it for this episode. We'll stay tuned. Will Garrick get laid? What will happen? What tank top will he wear?
God, this is so gross.
He is. Yeah, he's a piece of work. Oof.
He is.
All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. If you like this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating. It really does help the podcast. If you enjoy this podcast and you're not subscribed already, if you could please subscribe, that also helps us. And follow us on social media at Psych Legal Pop on TikTok and Instagram. And yeah, we have a very special episode this Thursday. With a very special guest, our Uncle Bill, who we've mentioned. We're going to be talking all about the NFL and, cause he worked with the NFL for many, many years.
And pop culture. Yeah.
The intersection of the two. Yes. And spread the word of Psych Legal Pop so we can build our audience and our podcast. And yeah, I think that's it. Thank you so much for your support.
You.
Thank you so much for being here. And we will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.